You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700. Or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. It's time for Ask the Expert with Carlos Griego. He is the owner of Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, fire, and flood restoration. Roofing also are just some of the services available through Bosque Home Services.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, lots of questions from our audience, our listeners today, so I'm going to get right to it. What's involved in converting an evaporative cooling system to refrigerated air?
That's a pretty broad question.
Well,
it depends on what part of the city you're in.
Oh, really?
Yes. So let's say, for instance, this is why having a local expert from Albuquerque working on your house, because I think we've talked about this before. What works in Knob Hill is not going to work on the west side of Albuquerque. In Knob Hill, you'll find, in Knob Hill in the Ridgecrest area, you'll find a lot of houses that have what's called a shotgun air duct into the middle of the house. You've probably been in many of these houses. They have one duct, kind of like this one we're looking at in the studio, and it just dumps right into the house, and the air dissipates from there, and you typically open up windows, and that diverts your air to which rooms it's going to go out, because the way Swamp Clean works is it pulls air from the outside and then pushes the hot air out the windows of the inside. So in a house like that, that might require quite a bit more than it would if we were on the west side. We may have to do duct work. 90% of the time we'd have to do a panel upgrade because the electrical box is going to be older in those areas. But they're highly desired areas. Lots of people buy and love to live in that Knob Hill area,
yes,
Ridgecrest area, and they renovate and do things of that nature. So a project like that could take an entire week, you know, for instance. But for your basic standard household, on the west side or anywhere else around Albuquerque, if you got a generalized duct system with duct work, so what goes into it is we always replace the furnace and then add the air conditioning. Because what a lot of people don't understand is the blower for the furnace is the same blower for the air conditioner.
Oh.
So we've gotten calls where they're like, well, can you add existing air conditioning to my existing system? Mm-hmm. And if it's an 8, 9, 10 year old system, we don't want to put refrigerated air onto that blower because the blower has different speeds for different cycles. So at its heating cycle, it's going to run in the lower CFM range because it's a lot easier to heat a space than it is to cool a space. Hmm. In the cooling world, airflow is the life of the system. That's the lifeblood of the system. So when it goes into cooling mode, let's say, for instance, the blower's running at 800 CFM. Well, once it goes into a cooling stage, it's going to ramp up to 1600 CFM. If you got a blower motor that's never ramped that high before, and now you kick it in a high gear, it'll probably either break or it'll tear what's called the squirrel cage apart. So what we want to do is replace what they call the CHP, the central heating plant, with the blower, add the air conditioning, remove the swamp cooler, cap off the duct. But even a project like that, your basic project, max is 2 days.
Let me ask a follow-up question. I want to use a specific home that I have in my own. Little house in Corrales, 1,600 square feet, about a 4-foot-wide trunk duct going right down the center hallway with vents to each room. When you put in a refrigerated air, do you somehow create a return air duct within that existing duct?
So you can't. Yeah, that wouldn't be a doable thing. What does the furnace look like?
The furnace is actually pretty new.
Do they share the same duct system?
They do. They do.
So, and the furnace at some point has a return somewhere.
It does right underneath it.
Yeah, they call that a shotgun return.
Mm.
So. You would use it, and you made a good point there. So you have a central duct system that runs down the center of the house, and you see this a lot. And then over the doorways in the bedrooms, you have registers typically that kick out in each room, correct?
Yes.
So that's not the most efficient way to cool a house. That's a house that's been designed for swamp cooling.
Exactly.
So this house has been designed to take the air from the center of the room and push it to the windows and doors out to the edge of the room. But those houses still work pretty efficiently. You're not going to have so much anymore. I would tell you 10 years ago when I was doing this, you might see a significant difference in your electric bill because it takes a little bit more to circulate that air. But with modern changes, you're not going to see a big difference. But one of the biggest things, because again, getting back to your question, is we're using the furnace is still going to be the main blower for the entire air conditioning system. So that furnace is going to get replaced because we want our system to match. So we want the system, the furnace, and the blower to match the air conditioner that we're putting in. So that's going to go in there. But one of the biggest issues that we have with what's called a shotgun return, which is you have a furnace in a closet and then you got a register cut underneath and it sucks the air right underneath it, is the noise. Because they're louder. Mm-hmm. So we've done some things in the past. We've redirected some. We've insulated some of those cabinets to help dampen the sound. But you'll get a little bit more sound. But on the positive side, you're going from a 4,000 to 5,000 CFM swamp cooler to a air conditioning system that's probably going to move anywhere from 1,800 to 2,000 CFM. Mm-hmm. So the amount of air you're moving is less, but you're circulating internally. So we would still use that system. It would be okay.
Well, here's another listener question. Is there any way to improve the water pressure in a home on the Albuquerque City water system located in the South Valley?
So one, it seems like, I mean, yes, the answer is yes. The simple answer is yes. So what we would typically do is we put a booster pump in. So if you have really bad water pressure, we put in a booster pump, but we might want to look into some other things because as soon as you say South Valley, I've worked all over Albuquerque for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And when you say South Valley, the first thing I think of is either galvanized piping or something like that. So it may not be so much a pressure issue as it could be a piping issue. Mm-hmm. And so with galvanized piping, if you ever take a 20-year-old piece of galvanized piping and cut it in half, it looks like a clogged artery.
Wow.
So it starts to build this corrosion up on the inside of it. So that might
was
be
a gross analogy, by the way, just for the record.
Well, it's literally the best way to, it looks yes. like an artery that's closing down. And so would the booster pump help? Yeah, but it might create other problems. So yes, you could run a booster pump and you could boost your pressure up. And typically you want your water pressure to be between roughly, 50 and 75 PSI max. Actually, the code is a maximum of 80 PSI in any water system. But if you're between 50 and 75 PSI, you're doing really good. But, again, a question like that is there's some investigating work that needs to happen is why is the water pressure so low? Cause I'm very familiar with our water systems.
Yes.
So we would want to test pressure, of course, at the meter. And they could call and if they haven't already, call the water authority. The water authority has a specialized gauge to check the pressure right at the meter.
And Carlos, you've actually I've personally used your services and, most recently in my daughter's house, which is up in the Northwest Heights in Albuquerque. And one of the things that was a question is whether or not the water valve that's on the street was actually leaking. Because right. I opened it up. First thing you told me is you don't want to touch that. You want the city to come and fix it. And that's a good reminder for our listeners.
Right. You always want to let, because part of that is the service you're paying for. You yes. pay that service every month. So it's okay to call them. They got people that they're not going to charge you extra to come and check your pressure. They're not going to charge you extra to come and turn the water off for you. So why not utilize that service and relieve yourself of the liability of causing some kind of issue? Mm. I mean, even with us, from a standpoint of being, a contractor, a plumbers, et cetera, we don't want to touch their water valve, because if we break that valve, they'll bill us to replace it.
Wow.
So if we look at it and we're like, nope, this doesn't look good, we'll call it and we'll have to schedule. And sometimes it's an inconvenience because we have to schedule a shutdown and then a startup. But I would tell you 80% of the time that we do that, they end up replacing the valve at the same time.
Carlos Griego is the owner of Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, fire, and flood restoration. They do some roofing. That's why we call them Bosque Home Services. We appreciate you so much. Carlos, here's another listener question. When I turn on the faucet in my backyard, my pipes shake for about 10 seconds. What's causing that shaking?
That could be a multitude of things. One could be, it could be some thermal expansion issues. So let's say, for instance, and people always don't realize that these things are related. Let's say they put a new water heater in their house and they didn't put a thermal expansion tank on the water heater. Well, what I've seen in the past, and people don't realize because it takes a while to kind of correlate the two, because they're thinking that's hot water, this is cold water, what do they have to do? The systems are tied together. Mm-hmm. And what will happen is, so to simplify it, it's just like a pressure cooker. You put a lid on something and you heat it up and it expands. So your pressure will boost up. So what they might be getting is residual pressure off of the actual water heater, because when the hot water system boosts, it's tied directly to the cold system. So the cold pressure boosts. And when they first kick it on, they might be getting this big jump because they're going from maybe 120, 130 PSI, and then it's balancing back out. So that typically, anytime you get an erratic rattle or shake like that, you're going to get, they call it water hammering. So you'll get a hammer as you're opening up the valve, it'll start to hammer. Rarely will you get water hammering in a house you've lived in for, you know, maybe 5-6 years and never had that issue, and now all of a sudden you're developing water hammering. Typically it's associated with something else like thermal expansion, something of that effect. Another thing that people don't know is the city of Albuquerque has gone through and in all the meters they put in, basically like a check valve so you can't cross contaminate the city water system. So what they don't want happening is, something happening with their water system going down, and then you just fertilized your lawn and now all that fertilizer from your lawn gets back siphoned into the city water system. Now it's called cross contamination. You contaminated the city water. So they put these valves in that don't allow water to flow back into the system. So if they just swapped out the meter or did some kind of meter work, then you might start to develop a water hammer, which could be solved by maybe you're building too much pressure. Maybe it's thermal expansion. Maybe we need to put in what's called a hammer arrestor, which is essentially like a small expansion tank to fix those kind of things, all yes. pressure related. So
Carlos Griego is a native New Mexican. And he is he's proud to live here as entrepreneur, obviously the owner of Bosque Home Services. Their phone number is 505-444-7200. Carlos is gracious to come in every month and be the expert and answer these questions. And your answer so far, I would have not a clue about any of those answers. So I so much appreciate you being here. Carlos, here's something that you're going to appreciate. And this is ministry related because I know you also are involved in ministry. Our friends at Samaritan's Purse are working to help homeowners after the devastating Hermit's Peak fire, which has destroyed more than 400 homes in Mora and San Miguel counties. You are invited to join their efforts to clear hazardous trees, remove debris around homes, and sift ashes to recover personal belongings, all in Jesus' name. Individuals and groups may join this effort, be the hands and feet of Jesus to the hurting people in northern New Mexico. Day and night, and overnight, volunteers are needed. Volunteer safety orientations happen daily, 7:30 a.m. and 12:30 a.m. at Mount Calvary Assembly of God Church. Individual day volunteers can show up at either of those times. Group day and volunteers and all overnight volunteers must sign up at least 24 hours in advance. Signing up helps Samaritan's Purse schedule the work ahead. Tools are provided. Just an awesome ministry and so many people in great need. And, Carlos, I know your heart goes out to the people of northern New Mexico.
Well, for one, my family's from northern New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So they're from Mora, and they're from, you know, Española, Taos, Ojo Caliente, that whole area. But, you know, one of the greatest things, I think, because I've worked in the church and done a lot of things, but I think that one of the biggest things that we could give as Christians is our time.
Yes.
You know, everybody always talks about tithing, and, you know, they feel so tied to, I need to tithe, and I may have some people get upset with me when I say this. God's not going to love you if you don't tithe this month, okay? But if you have a little bit of time to give, I think that is far more important than you opening up. It's easy to open up your checkbook. To take your personal time and go help somebody in need is far more important, in my opinion.
And just to be there to give them some feedback and encouragement personally, it means a lot.
Right. You don't have to know what you're doing. If you're just there to spend time with people and to help them in a time of need, and maybe a time of ease their time is there, and just let them know that they're supported and cared for, that's huge. And you don't have to go out and sift ashes. You could take sandwiches. You could do lots of different things. Whatever it is you're good at, or whatever God has blessed you with, take that and do that.
What's the Griego sandwich of choice?
Oh, that's a hard question. You know, that's, but everyone's going to laugh at me. Fried bologna sandwiches with mustard, okay?
I love it.
That's it's my favorite. But you can't buy the bologna you slice anymore. I haven't found it in a long time. So, but we used to, you know, cut.
Did you buy that at a deli?
Yeah, at a deli. We'd get the big loaf of bologna and you'd slice it. And are you familiar with sandwich spread?
Oh, yes.
So my grandfather liked it with sandwich spread, but I've always liked fried bologna sandwiches with, with mustard. So
I always tease my dad. He's 90 and he likes Spam. I'm not a Spam guy.
I've tried to like, I wanted to like Spam. I can't do it. It's too salty for me.
The interesting thing is that in New Mexico, I know a lot of families that like Spam, but you know where they really like it is in Hawaii. Spam is like everywhere in Hawaii. It's crazy.
I have a good friend from Hawaii, and it's very much the same. Actually, what he told me, because I said, I want to like Spam. It looks good. I don't know why I want to like it, but I want to like it. He said, try boiling it. And it'll help get a lot of the salt out of it.
Oh, man. No, I just let somebody else eat it.
I'll just eat bologna and hot dogs.
Carlos Griego is the owner of Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, fire, and flood restoration. They do some roofing also, a lot of other available services. Their phone number is 505-444-7200. We'll be back with Carlos Griego asking the expert. We got five or six more questions from listeners. We'll be right back.
Calvary Chapel, Puerto Vallarta. Under the leadership of Bill and Renee Martin, continue to reach out to the children of Calvary Chapel Mission School. Other ministry includes street evangelism, various mini festivals, dramas, one-on-one evangelism, and food and gift distribution. They also have a coffee bar and bookstore in the church. This draws in people right off the street who may not usually frequent a church. In a recent conversation with Bill Martin, he shared the need for others to consider coming alongside them, either for long-term or short-term outreach opportunities.
Even if you come down with one or two people and watch the work, go with the evangelism team, watch them, work with them, pray with them, and it'll change your vision. You start going, wow, God is working, God is doing things.
For more information on the ministry of the Martins at Calvary Chapel Puerto Vallarta, visit the mission page at calvarynm.church.
Celebrate freedom at the Calvary Church annual community-wide event on July 1st. The Kid Zone opens at 5, the stage starts at 7:30, and the fireworks kick off at 9. Bring the whole family and lawn chairs to enjoy a night of worship, a message by Skip Heitzig, and a fantastic fireworks show, all free from Calvary Church. Freedom Celebration on the Calvary Osuna campus, Friday, July 1st. Freedom Celebration, produced and presented by Calvary Church Albuquerque.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
We're back with Carlos Griego. Thank you for listening to ABQ Connect. Carlos, I know you have really helped out Feed New Mexico Kids. I know you do some other things to help people in the community, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts about people in northern New Mexico affected by the tragic fires that we've experienced so far.
We just appreciate that God's blessed us with the ability to do these things.
Yeah.
You know, so we're thankful for that.
Amen. Well, hey, along the lines, with all the smoke in the air, are there refrigerated air conditioning systems available that will filter out the outside air?
So systems, no. Filters, yes.
Okay.
So if you go online, let's say if you jump on YouTube and you look up dynamic air filters, they're electrostatic air filters. They've actually changed the name to Solace, but they went by dynamic. And they do a presentation where they take a box and they fill it with cigarette smoke. And then they kick on the fan and they don't energize the filter. And you can just see the smoke rotating in the fan. And then they energize the filter and it actually pulls all the smoke particles out of the air. But these filters, these electrostatic air, they're actually called electrostatic air cleaners, not filters. So there's a difference. Mm-hmm. They filter 96% of what passes through the
air. Well, and you told us last time when we were on the show that the little filters you go buy and put in your furnace are really not filtering anything.
No, they're just protecting your blower motor. That's it. Gotcha. I mean, people, I see people, we go into houses all the time where somebody, they're like, oh, I buy the most expensive HEPA this and that filter. It's like, okay, it's like putting a baseball glove up in the air and hoping just a ball falls into it. You know, whatever hits it is going to hit it. But with these electrostatic air cleaners, they're actually going to scrub that air all the way down to 1/100th of an inch, or if you will, 1 micron, which is as good as an N95 mask, right? It's something that I've put in my own home prior to the smoke, and just because of the fact that I have really bad allergies.
Listener question. One of my toilets is constantly getting stopped up. I have had the main sewer line cleaned twice, but it does not seem to be helping.
Toilet question on the radio. One, it could be the age of the toilet. I found in my early years of getting into this industry, you know, believe it or not, toilets have a shelf life on them. And what happens with toilets is, you know, when you flush your toilet, you see all those little jets that release the water. Well, they run through your main bowl, and you're not going to like this analogy again. That main jet, it, just like the pipes do, it'll get clogged like an artery. It'll start to clog up. It'll start to, the size of it will decrease. So a good test to say, okay, is it the toilet? Or is there something going on with my sewer system? Is take a 2 or 3 gallon bucket of water and dump it down the toilet. If that toilet flushes like you've never seen it flush before, you probably need a new toilet. So it's probably time to change out a new toilet. Some things that I've noticed in the past, that had nothing to do with that. The toilet's fine. There's nothing going on with the sewer system, but it keeps clogging. Unfortunately, if the doctor has changed your meds or you're on a lot of different medications, they can cause, you know, basically a lot of issues with your stool and allowing things to back up more. So then you might have to go to like a pressure assist style toilet to help you, you know, get over that. And with the money you're going to spend on the pressure assist, you'll save in service calls to have somebody come and fix your toilet, right?
I love it.
So there's a couple solutions to that.
This question is from Rio Rancho. My home is less than 2 years old and we're having repeated sewer line backups. One of the two caps on the clean out pops off and sewage keeps coming out. Could the lines have been installed incorrectly?
Yeah, I mean, very possible. There's so many things, especially in a newer home, there's so many things that can go wrong. What I would recommend you start with is a sewer camera inspection. And have somebody come out and do a sewer camera inspection and scope that line, up into the house and out to the street all the way. I'll tell you one of the funniest things I found, when I was out in the field is I had a very similar thing. Someone just bought a house that kept, they'd have a company come and clean the line. It'd work for a couple weeks, a month, and then it'd back up again. And it kept happening. So I go out and I do an inspection and I'm sure everybody's seen this. You see the plumber driving down the road and he has this 4-inch pipe and he'll have a 2-inch pipe or 3-inch pipe on the inside of the pipe. Well, what happened was these guys literally cut the pipe with another pipe on the inside of it and installed it into the system. So they had this 2-inch pipe floating around inside their sewer main. And so it was catching all the debris that was coming through and it would allow it to flow back and forth and stuff. Things that could happen. And sometimes it could just be something from the installation side where, something's off or something settled wrong. There's a lip or what we call an offset in the pipe that causes some of the same issues. And then with your low flow products, with low flow toilets, dishwashers, clothes washing machines, anymore, you tend to have more issues these days with sewer lines. So I believe that we should change some codes to help assist with that, because we changed the water flow code, but we didn't change what they call the drop on the pipe. So that's the grade that goes out to the street. Well, it's set at a quarter inch per foot to drop in what they call fall. And I just had a meeting about this. I said, you know, they will allow us to do up to a 16th of an inch or an eighth of an inch. Well, what happens is with low flow, your water is moving faster at a quarter of an inch than your solids are. So if you pick the fall up just a quarter of an inch or a 16th of an inch, it'll kind of slow that water flow down. That way it could carry solids and other things like that out. So part of this question, does it have too much fall, and how do you figure that out? Because it may be that the water's running off so fast that it's leaving everything else behind.
Wow. Now, see, I would have thought if the water's running faster, it would carry things faster, but the exact opposite sounds like it's true.
Yes, right. So that's not always the case.
Yeah. See, man, I haven't known one answer you've given today. That's why you're
I'm
the
making
expert.
It up.
That's why you're the expert. I love it. Okay, last question. Apparently we have had an upstairs bathtub leaking for some time. It has not caused any damage to the ceiling downstairs, but one of the walls directly under the leak has water damage. Is it likely that mold exists?
So first and foremost, I would get any mitigation company to go look at that first. If you believe there's mold, don't go cut the wall open. Don't expose yourself to it. It's not even worth the risk of doing that. Get a certified mitigation company to at least come and assess it. You don't have to make a decision. You don't have to sign a work authorization release form. Just say, hey, I would like you to come in and take a look at it. We have people that do this with us all the time. Happy to come in and just take a look and give you some expert advice. But first is that, and then second is, why is it doing that? What's going on? Is there a leak somewhere? We found leaks around the shower valves themselves, where they didn't silicone or caulk around the shower valves or the tub spouts, and we found those to leak. We found leaks sometimes even just addressed with, and this is a weird one, the shower head, where it wasn't put together and soldered properly, or the fitting didn't take right. So what would happen is, because a shower head's only energized when you pull that diverter up, is it would squirt the back of the wall while you're showering, and then you turn it off and it stops, and then it dries up. And so it's kind of intermittent. And anytime you have a small intermittent problem, it's more expensive to figure out what's going on.